Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me. We're reaching the end of our week going through 2 Peter chapter 1, basically verses 3. We've gotten through verses 3 through about verse 5. So a couple verses, we're chipping away. And Peter is building. He's building out an amazing vision for the call of your life. Peter is laying out, this is what the Christian life is. And we began at the beginning of the week talking about this divine power that gives us access to everything that pertains to life and godliness. And how do you have this divine power in you? Through knowledge of God, through a relationship, a living and active relationship with Jesus. This divine power comes to dwell in you and then gives you access to the things of God. And then you've been called, once you're in this relationship, you've been called to a very high calling, to the actual glory of God, to his fullness, to his excellence. And how do we have that? Through the very great and precious promises that God has given us. And when we live in these promises, we're set free. This is what we began to talk about yesterday. We are set free from the corruption of this world, that through sin, the corruption of death is over us. But those effects, even when we're freed from death through the power of Jesus Christ, those effects can still reign over our mortal bodies. And so we have to live in God's promises, so not to be controlled by our passions. And then we finally have been partakers in the divine nature, this amazing reality. We have become partakers in the divine nature, this beautiful reality. And then we ended yesterday. This is where we're going to pick up today, talking about how we've been given the gift of faith. But we have to make an effort to supplement that with virtue, and then virtue with knowledge. And we're going to build on that today. And so we're going to dive back into this amazing passage, and we have a lot to get through over the next couple of days, and we're going to see where the Holy Spirit takes us. But first, we're going to continue on in the Psalms. And I loved being, even just these last couple of days, reading the Psalms as our beginning of prayer, because they fill us. They just put our mind to God. And I know when we did this before, it was like I never would plan it other than just going chronologically through the Psalms. And every time it would just be a psalm that would be speaking to me, that God would be like, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. So we're going to do Psalm 4 again. And so if you'll just join me in prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. Thou hast given me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry, but sin not. Commune with your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Lord, I come to you and I rely on you. We rely on you today. You are our deliverer. You are our strong fortress. We give you our whole hearts and we trust you to take care of us. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, I love this psalm because it's like trusting in the Lord when we can't see a way out. I love that the title of this is Confident Plea for Deliverance. And it sometimes it feels like, how long, O Lord? But then, no, Lord, you have set apart the godly for yourself. You commune with our hearts. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Live godly and put your trust in the Lord. I know that's a word for me today in some situations in my life. Live godly and put your trust in the Lord. Amen, amen. All right, let's go ahead and read. We're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to read through verse 8 again. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So yesterday we talked about the beginning of that. Make every effort. Make an effort. That was the point of our episode yesterday. Make an effort. You have received the gift of faith. Make an effort to supplement your faith with a habitual action of positioning your soul so that it consistently chooses what is good. Then supplement virtue. Virtue with what? With knowledge of God. And knowledge with self-control. So you've been given faith. Now supplement your faith with virtue, with acting in a way that essentially puts your heart in a particular disposition. And then it's not just enough to have a particular disposition and to have faith. You also need to have a knowledge of God. You need to have a living knowledge, a knowing of Him. But in addition to have a knowing of Him, you need to submit that knowledge and yourself under self-control. What is self-control? It helps you govern your desires, emotions, and impulses. So he's saying faith, a gift of faith is beautiful, but then you have to have virtue. You have to actually try to habitually live out a life controlled by faith. And how do you do that? You have knowledge of God that is spurring you on. And then you have those things. And then what do you need? You need to be able to govern your desires and emotions and impulses. Make an effort to govern your desires, your emotions, and impulses. And when you fail, come back and say sorry. When you fail, come back and say sorry instead of choosing what is easiest or most tempting. Self-control, the ability to say no to yourself for the sake of the good. Self-control is a part of temperance, and it builds on the knowledge of God. Faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. So you can have all of the, now this is Paul saying specific virtues. You can have faith and you can have virtue. You can sometimes choose for virtue. You can be growing in virtue. You can know about God and you can have a living knowledge of Him. You can submit your desires to God. You can say no to things, but He's saying these things you need to have steadfastness as well. Remaining firm, faithful, and consistent. That a zeal that burns up and burns out is not a zeal that God is calling us to. It's a zeal that endures, a zeal that's consistent. It means you don't give up under pressure, suffering, temptation, or delay. God can give you grace all day long, but you have to choose not to give up. That's steadfastness. Don't give up. I had a situation yesterday that I've been working on for like 2 years almost. Honestly, the situation has been going on for a very long time. And yesterday there was a situation within the situation. And I was like talking to a friend about it. I was like, I'm done. You know what? I'm done. Nope. I'm not pushing forward with this person. I'm giving up. I'm done. And I came back after I'd cooled down with this, and I was like, you know what? No, I need to choose what is good. I need to choose what is right. And I can't just quit. I need to remain steadfast in cultivating this virtue and receiving God's grace. In short, steadfastness is faithful endurance. So make every effort to supplement faith with virtue, doing consistently what is right, virtue with knowledge, a living relationship with God, knowledge with self-control, submitting your passions and having the ability to say no. Self-control with steadfastness, doing this in a way that's remaining firm and faithful and consistent with faithful endurance. Don't give up. Just keep going. And guess what? Remaining faithful takes grit. Yes, you're receiving grace, but you need to choose. You need to choose. Remaining faithful. Steadfastness with godliness. We've seen godliness before. So what does godliness mean in this context? Shaping your life around what God is like. A life that reflects God's character. So steadfast. You have to remain firm. You have to remain consistent. You have to have faithful endurance. You have to just keep going in the face of your circumstances, in the face of suffering. But then you don't need just that, you need godliness. This is what a life looks like. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness. A life that looks like God. What is God like? How do we know what God's like? A way that we can find out what God is like is First Corinthians, that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Because it says love is. That's what God is like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts. Love endures all things. Love never fails. You put God there. What is God like? God is patient. God is kind. He keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. God always protects, always trusts, always looks for the best. God never fails. This is godliness. How do you live a life of godliness? Faithful endurance. Supplement faithful endurance with godliness, with actually being like God. And yes, God makes us like him through his grace, but we have to choose in situations to act like him. We have to choose in situations to be like, you know what? I'm going to step out and I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to come under what God wants me to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come under what God wants me to do. I'm going to choose what is good. I'm going to choose what is right. And finally, supplement godliness, this is verse 7, with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So I love this distinction that Peter makes, because he makes the distinction of affection and he makes the distinction of love. So he's saying supplement godliness with brotherly affection. And affection is much more related to feelings than love is. Affection is like a natural feeling. The definition is a natural feeling of fondness, love, or care towards someone or something. Letting your heart be inclined, to delight in something, to show affection, to show that you care. And there's a distinction there because he also says you must supplement brotherly affection with love. Why? Because you're not always going to feel tenderly. You're not always going to feel fond towards other people. So you have to will the good of the other. That's what love is. You have to supplement brotherly affection with willing people's good so that when you don't feel it, you actually are choosing their good regardless. But I think this affection is really important. Peter's saying it's important that you have feelings of fondness for each other, that you cultivate feelings of fondness toward each other. That you choose to delight in each other, that you say, like, actually, I'm going to try to like this person. I'm going to try to be fond with this person. And there's times where that can't happen, but it shouldn't be always. Our Christian relationship shouldn't always be like, oh, I have to will the good of this person because I just don't like them or I don't feel fond towards them. And I believe this is a grace that the Lord is pouring out. To actually say, I want to give you affection for your brothers and sisters in Christ, not just like this gritting your teeth, like choose to love, but actual affection and inclination in your heart towards these people. So we see faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. God bless. Join us again tomorrow as we wrap up this set of verses.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.